Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
He's still on the table. Who is the most presidential person in the Houston sports realm that could theoretically jump in November and actually get votes? From the 832 of Calvin Murphy, Randy, get at least 18 votes from each of his kids. Well, wait, hang on. He would get 18 votes from his kids in total. Because I don't think you can vote 18 times. This isn't like the All-Star game. I don't know. Voter fraud might be to the point where now you can vote multiple times like it is a ballot online.
You never know.
I don't know how it works.
We got a Tillman suggestion. Nah, focus on the Rockets.
Focus on the Cougs.
Yeah. Let's get the Cougs back to where they belong.
Carl Lewis writes another texter, butchered the national anthem, but he did do it in a cute way.
I do feel like it makes you kind of like that. That's the whole hit piece video that comes out. It's just, can you really elect a man to be the president of the United States that did this to our national anthem?
That would be used in the negative attack.
Yeah,
ad every
yeah,
single
that's
time.
Tough. That's
Carl Lewis hates America. Plays a clip of him saying, hey, come on.
Vernon Maxwell on the Twitch.
No. it would be fun, for sure.
It would be fun.
But no, that there would be a coup. Like he would start too much trouble.
Could we get Hakeem? I think Hakeem maybe. He played on Team USA. So.
And then he might qualify.
Although the other side would have some serious questions.
Immigrant? So there's a lot of checked boxes for the Democratic ticket.
Yeah, I feel like if you play for Team USA, some of the other presidential rules like don't apply. Like you represented your country, this country, in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So you qualify to also be president.
I mean,
I'd be a good dream.
He's so patriotic, he forgot about his original country to play for the United States.
He chose to be an American.
Yeah.
Right.
Him and Joel Embiid.
We didn't choose to be American. He chose to be
American.
He chose to be an American. Could have been anywhere else, you know?
Chose us.
Anyone else?
Clyde Drexler.
No. Sorry, Clyde Drexler on the broadcast team.
Matt Bullard.
That was too much for me.
Oh, Bill Worrell. He's in the right age range.
No, Bill Worrell. No, again, it has to be someone.
Jeff Van Gundy.
It has to be someone who's relevant on a national level as well. Like, Clyde Drexler probably still would be there. Jeff Van Gundy would get some, I think. He would get some, but a lot of people would think, hey, he's meandering too much. He keeps on referencing the Revolutionary War during the broadcast.
He's complaining too much about Subway.
I think Jeff has a better shot, because I just keep thinking of the negative attack ads, and I just, like, imagine Donald Trump talking about animals. And then just putting the Clyde clip in there talking about baby seals. And just being like, that's not going to work. Like the PETA people are not going to vote for Clyde. This is not going to be good enough. So
there's a baby seals Clyde comment?
He said, he was talking about Yao Ming going against, Andre Nocioni. Mm-hmm. They were playing the Bulls. And he said it was like clubbing baby seals on television.
I mean, I like the comparison. Did he get canceled for that? Is that why he doesn't do the broadcast anymore? That's the most pep he's had in his step ever.
I don't know.
It was when Yao Ming was playing.
It was 09, so.
Oh, so he stuck around?
Yeah.
He stuck around.
I think he might have got suspended for it. I don't remember.
What? For using the clubbing of baby seals that he has not taken part of?
They fired the guy for the gun emoji with the horse.
That's ridiculous. Listen.
The Rockets used to be soft.
Clyde Drexler on the broadcast, it's been rough. But if he was dropping gems like that back in the day,
They clearly muzzled him. That's why he stopped paying attention and saying, what a layup through the lane.
Oh, man. I actually am surprised you didn't know that story about Clyde.
No. Now I have more respect for Clyde as a broadcaster.
Is there anyone else from the Astros past? We said Bagwell, Biggio.
Nolan Ryan.
Yeah. No, oh, absolutely.
Ah, this is Nolan Ryan. I got all of my stakes. You coming at me like Robin Ventura, Mr. Trump? I'll kick your ass.
And Nolan would be a great one. I guess, and really when you ask the Bagwell question, it's more like you trust the group. It's not your, because you're not just electing Bagwell.
What, you're electing the Skull and Bones Letterman Jacket Society?
Like
too?
Jim Crane's probably your VP.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's your cabinet right there.
Reggie Jackson's in there.
Craig Biggio. We already got the Deep State running that show.
Berkman's
got
to be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
The deep state's running the left side of things as it is. Okay, do we need to just bring more of that in there? Although they might be so insular from all of that that perhaps they could actually get things done. All right.
Gary Kubiak,
Gare Bear,
that's a good one.
I want to hear him giving injury reports for troops and such. Oh yeah, he's got a groin. Love the way that he said that. Kubiak, good dude. All right. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros did take two or three from the Mariners over the weekend. They are in first place by percentage points. Also, something happened in Sunday's game, and it has us wondering, what is the coolest individual accomplishment you can pull off in a baseball game? Galan and George, he's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Astros took two or three from the Mariners, and Yordan Alvarez had a cycle in the loss yesterday, 6-4 to Seattle. Had a home run that he hit to the upper deck of right field. Hit a triple on a play where Julio Rodriguez seemingly got seriously injured. The ball was in Rodriguez's glove, but he collides with the wall awkwardly, feet first, falls to the ground. Yordan gets to third, standing up. And then he gets a double in his last at-bat that actually drew cheers from Mariners fans. Did not think that I would ever see Mariners fans cheer the Houston Astros, especially in the midst of a series where the Astros overtook Seattle in first place. But
losers.
It's not a great look. It's not very competitive. I mean, I'd almost rather them be cheering when players are getting thrown at than cheering a cycle.
I know, like, we're about to talk about like some of the coolest things you can do in baseball, and there's a lot of things I want to see. I would love to see in person. Seeing a cycle in person would be really cool.
Eh.
If it's not the top of my list, but like if it's the opposing team that I'm there rooting for, I'm not cheering for it. I'm not celebrating it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'm glad I got to see that once in my life in person. But like I'm not standing up and giving a standing ovation for the other team.
If the other team is at a point where like you can break up the no-hitter with a bunt, I want them to bunt. Like my team, I want them to do whatever they can to make sure that history is not accomplished by the other team.
Yes, you're not getting history off me, right? Yeah, no. I mean, just think about if the game was at Minute Maid Park and J.P. Crawford hit for the cycle. Like, I'm not getting cheered.
No. Not at all. Like, I'm not cheering if there's a no-hitter. Like, I'd love to see a no-hitter in person. I almost don't care who throws it, like which team, because I would love to see it in person.
The problem is you never know when a guy's actually going to pitch through a whole game. Because
one-man no-hitter.
I went to I think it was Astros Orioles a couple of years ago, and Verlander had a no-hitter through six, and they pulled him. And I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. Why am I here? It's a Friday.
Yeah, I think one-man no-hitter is on the list.
Yes.
I think combined no-hitter. No thanks.
Yeah, not as much.
Not no thanks, but just not as interested.
Yeah, it's not as high on the list. I think seeing an immaculate inning would be really cool. Like, I think that's a cool accomplishment.
I wouldn't 100% know it happened.
Yeah,
though.
That's the problem. I think someone getting excited next to me, and I'd be like, well, You just win a bet? What happened?
And well, when it happened last year, it happened, what, twice in one game last year for the Astros, the first time for that ever to happen in baseball. The first time it happened, no one realized it until the inning was basically over. And then I think it was when Maton, I think it was, came in later. I can't remember if he had the first or second one. That one they were aware of on the broadcast.
Yeah, I think it was Garcia.
Oh, it was Garcia and then Maton. Yeah. Yeah. And they struck out the same three batters. That would be cool, but I kind of just want, like, I want to see something. I'd want to see something dominant that's not even a no hitter.
I have one, a four home run game.
Yep, that would be cooler.
That'd be awesome.
Because home runs just cooler. Sorry, that's the game. Home runs are cool, and it is something that is like super rare.
Four home run game or perfect game?
Ooh. I think I take the four home run game.
Four home run game probably means it's a more fun game. The perfect game, it can be a nail biter, but the four home run game means it's probably just an absolute massacre, and you're winning by a lot. You don't have to pay that serious attention, except for on the four at bats. So as someone who has the ADD, it's a lot easier for me to focus on a four home run game.
Perfect games have there been?
Okay,
there's been 18 four home run games.
I think
in MLB.
27 perfect games in MLB history, probably more.
Wow,
something like that.
So it's actually more rare to hit four home runs
in a game.
That's the more impressive achievement.
It by definition has to be. Seeing a perfect game would be very cool. The cycle doesn't really move my needle much. It is a cool accomplishment, but it's one of those weird accomplishments where am I supposed to be more impressed by a guy hitting a single, a double, a triple, and a home run than I am by a guy who, say, hits two home runs and a double over the course of a game?
Mm-hmm. I would think I'd prefer maybe a two triple game. If some guy just hits two triples, I think that's just it, because triples are fun.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, triple play. Triple play is pretty cool.
Oh, but a weird triple play.
But yeah. You don't think so?
I mean, it's cool.
They never happen.
But I mean, my socks aren't blown off.
That's what I'm saying, like a weird one. Like one where there's like a crazy diving catch or something.
A triple play and a cycle are on the same page as like, oh, wow.
There is a lot of baseball. Like Joe mentioned it with the two immaculate innings striking out the two same batters. Mm-hmm. Where like, that is a cool fact. That is like a fact that makes you go, huh, the same batters, huh? Wow, that's weird. But I don't want to be in a tent. Like, that does nothing for me, the spectator, sitting in a crowd, being like, you know, that was the same three guys. The 7-8 guys got immaculate inning twice this game. That doesn't do anything for me.
Yordan had a cycle on Sunday, so we're talking about the best individual accomplishment in baseball. 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can also join us on Twitch at ESPN 975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston.
I got one. How about 20 strikeout game by a starting pitcher?
Yeah.
Because that speaking,
I just couldn't say it.
Speaking to our, yes, Kerry Wood, thank you. Speaking to our problems with the no hitter, where we need a one man no hitter or one woman no hitter, that the 20 strikeouts, I mean, you have to pitch at least, what, seven innings, eight innings to even come close to it. So you are getting that length, and it's also just more dominant because you're just putting away guys.
Yeah, I think I'd rather see 20 strikeouts than a no-hitter.
I have a really dorky story about strikeouts. So when I was in seventh grade, I made it onto the baseball team in middle school, the A team, and I had no business making it onto the team. None. I was terrible. I made it on the team because one of my best friends, they wanted him to have like a buddy on the team.
Oh, you're the Thanasis?
Pretty much. I was the Thanasis. So I was also the statistician.
Okay.
There was a game. We're getting to the point here. There was a game where, you know, baseball in middle school, it's seven innings. So there's a kid who was pitching for us named Greg Malley, who I think went on to pitch in college. There was a point in the game where he had struck out everybody through five innings. So we were trying to figure out mathematically how to make sure that he would get to 20 strikeouts, because at a certain point it was clear, like, oh, this is, we're going to have to do a little fudging. So because I was keeping the stats, I said, like, hey, on one of these strikeouts, drop it. I told the catcher, like, just drop it and let the guy get to first base, because it wasn't going to be a no hitter or a perfect game. Sadly, we did not get the 20 strikeout. We got 19 strikeouts, but I remember telling the catcher, like, after our last one, like, hey, like, we need one more.
We need to get four in this
inning. Right, exactly, because we were winning.
Oh, my
God. That's, like, the nerdiest moment of my life in sports. I was like, yeah, hey, make sure you drop this one so that we have a chance of getting 20.
I also like you guys. I mean, it's seventh grade, so it's, yeah. You're not as
not even high school.
But it's also like how many strikeouts is even possible in a 7 inning game?
That's
like,
what we were thinking.
That's very easy math to do. Just 3 times 7.
It was 21. So he
had to basically strike out everyone.
He had 19 strikeouts in a 21 out game. Like that's.
That is crazy.
But it is middle school, so who actually cares? I'm just telling you that I tried to fudge the numbers.
I just don't know what my favorite part of this story is. Like
the home statistician.
Like the where it started, that he's on the team only because he's friends with the guy.
Yeah. That's got to be the part.
I do like that part.
Like being the statistician or the way you got to 19 strikeouts. Like there's three really strong parts of that story.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Take a dive here, catcher.
Yeah, I just don't know which one's my favorite part of.
I thought it was going to be with like dropping pop flies and stuff to try to make like intentionally.
Dropping the strikeouts, very intelligent.
There's only been 5 games in history with 20 plus strikeouts.
Wow.
So Roger Clemens, who did it first and second. First in 86, second in 96. Whoa.
That's cool.
Now, it does make you think, hey, what was Roger doing?
No.
But hey, not me, because he's a Houston legend. Kerry Wood, Randy Johnson, and Max Scherzer, the other one.
So that's another thing with the 20 strikeout, and that's why it might be higher than a no-hitter.
I think that's number one.
Is because those list of names, you basically have to be a Hall of Famer. Like no one lucks into it. We're a no-hitter, like, there's so many guys that have thrown no-hitters that we just never hear from again.
Yeah.
There is an element of, I want to see a great player do a great thing, not just like, hey, remember that one time? This guy that got called up, you know, 3 weeks before and only made 10 starts in the majors, but he threw a no-hitter and I was there. Like, that's not as cool to me.
Yeah. Another one that's a one that's only happened, I think, one time ever is Fernando Tatis Sr. Hit 2 grand slams in 1 inning.
Yeah.
That's my answer to most unbreakable record in sports because it's just impossible to be in that situation.
That would be stunning to see that happen again. and it was against the same pitcher.
they just
left that guy in there just to rot.
Just let him die. Same pitcher?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How many runs did he give up that inning? At least 8.
It had to be.
Probably 12.
Jeez.
Because they had to bat around to get him back up again.
Do you think the pitcher that has to just leave himself in the game, like to just take all that abuse, do you feel like he thinks to himself like he's Willem Dafoe's character in Platoon?
Yeah.
Like dropping to a knee on the ground. Just holding his hands up into the sky. While Tom Berenger's scowling as a helicopter escapes.
You definitely look at your manager a little different after the game.
Yeah,
you're like,
man.
Really? You couldn't pull me like after the first grand slam? And then when you saw, and then I load up the bases again and he's coming up again, then you still want me out there?
So we're talking most impressive individual accomplishments in a baseball game after Yordan Alvarez had a cycle on Sunday. Someone had a funny text. This is quite the bazinga. I like it. And it has to do with the Texas Rangers. Adolis Garcia cycles all the time. What's the big deal?
There we go.
Got him.
Nice. Well done. Inside the park home run in person,
ooh.
Much better than, I would say, watching on TV. Watching on TV, it's cool. But I think in person, the crowd generally builds up as the play gets to third base. You're like, oh, crap, he's got a chance?
And the camera work gets a little tricky
on
watching it on TV because there's a lot of action. Baseball's really not meant on TV to have, like, 2 things going on at 2 different places at the same time. And so there's an element to the, oh, my God, he's rounding third. He's headed home. But you also kind of have to keep an eye on the ball,
right?
Because normally there has to be some foolishness that goes on with the outfielder that leads to it inside the park home run. So there's a lot going on, which I think is better in person than on TV.
I mean, like if Pena hits that ball yesterday instead of Yordan, that's an inside the park home run.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
I do feel like 1/3 of all inside the park home runs have like an outfielder injury.
Yeah.
Like it's like not only did he misplay a ball, he's like. He's
or hurt. it's a diving catch, but they miss it by 3 feet, and there's no one near them. I'm watching now this one. It's a diving catch into center field. It just keeps rolling from Ellie De La Cruz in the beginning of the season. Some of these guys, though, are so fast now that it's almost not as impressive. If Yordan would have got to home yesterday, it would have been awesome. If he would have found a way to – I wish they would have let him turn the corner.
This is the funny thing about the cycle, though. So, I mean, going back to what you were saying a moment ago, if he had a chance on that double to turn it into a triple, you're supposed to stay at second. That's one of the things about the cycle that I think is stupid. I mean, I feel if you have the chance for, as Sean said earlier in the segment, two triples – in a game, like, that doesn't happen very often. Yeah. It's not really, I guess, one of those cool accomplishments, but somehow a cycle is more impressive than, like, two home runs and a double.
Yeah, that's a weird... That is weird.
There's a little bit of the Paul Gallant cooking the books that you have to do at some point in the cycle, or that you might have to do at some point in the cycle, where it's like, you get the triple and home run first, and then, like, you just need a double or
it's
single.
Easy.
It doesn't matter where I hit this ball. I am stopping at second base.
Yeah. And the funniest would be if the Yordan play, the triple, was his last at bat, and all he needed was the single. And just
then what?
The ball's on the ground. Like, do you just stop at first base? And just be like, I'm not leaving, guys.
What if he hit
this
a home
is where
run?
I'm at.
He hits a home run and he's like he runs out of the base paths, gets called out before he even crosses
home. Oh yeah,
home
he doesn't
plate.
Touch. He doesn't touch
that's
home.
Single. Yeah. Doesn't touch second or third either. Now you're really doing some crazy book cooking for that one. All right, it is Galata, George, ESPN 975-925 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, YouTube.com/@ESPN Houston. Up next, we're 45 days away from the start of the NFL season. How are there so many numbers with people we've never heard of? Also, Aaron Rodgers breaks his silence on missing mandatory minicamp with the Jets, and another quarterback who's going to be compared a lot to CJ Stroud this offseason and this coming year, he ain't playing until he gets paid. Who's this one? Stick around. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5,
92.5. We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
45. We are 45 days away from the start of the NFL season. I was surprised that this did not feature an NFL Hall of Famer. So I'm just going to tell you a random story. There once was a player named Otis Smith who played for the New England Patriots in 1996 and in 2001. He was a part of two Super Bowl appearing teams. Otis Smith is randomly one of my favorite New England Patriots ever. First, because he had a fumble return for a touchdown against the Jaguars in the 1997 AFC Championship game. And he also had a key interception in Super Bowl 36 against the St. Louis Rams. To the point that partly due to Pedro Martinez, but also partly due to Otis Smith, 45 was my number.
Nice.
Until my aunt died. Thanks, aunt, for dying, and I didn't get to pick my number at Team Jersey Pick Day for high school, so I was 42 for the rest of my life.
Ugh.
Thanks, Aunt Teresa. Ugh. I'm just kidding. I love you, Aunt Teresa. Aunt Teresa was great. I just like to tell that story
such
like
a
that.
Sad story. To sound you like didn't an, get to keep your number.
Like an absolute D-back. The only practice I ever missed. It's the only practice I ever missed.
Yeah. Woo! No Joe Mixon, no Laremy Tunsil.
Oh, no. I ain't no DeAndre Hopkins or Jadeveon Clowney out there.
Yeah.
I love working with you, Paul.
I got a free t-shirt every year for that. If you made it to every single practice, you would get a new t-shirt.
Now, did they still give you the t-shirt because you had a very good reason to miss that one practice?
No.
It wasn't.
Not for that one. It was spring practice, technically, so it wasn't a real practice, but...
Yeah, number 45 is not great. No Hall of Famers. The only name I really recognize here from even current guys is Devin White.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of good names.
I feel like it's a heavy fullback number.
I would have thought there would be at least one number 45.
T.J. Duckett?
Okay.
Love T.J. Duckett.
I honestly, of all of them at 45, this is the only one that's going to hit home for some, I think. Just kidding. No, you know what? This is me confusing my time in Seattle with my time in Houston. There's a guy named Kenny Easley who played safety for the Seahawks, number 45. Big deal.
Yeah,
there you go, guys.
These are the Paul Questenberry, Jay Prosh.
These are the only Houston Texans?
Yep. Greg Camella.
Okay. No relation to the other person?
I can't go. I can't do the other one.
What's the other one?
I can't say it.
Try.
Say it.
Try.
It's the linebacker.
The linebacker? What does that mean?
Ogbenoia.
Oh, Ogiobenobi?
Okoronkwo.
Oh, Okoronkwo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he lit up Deshaun Watson in the Texans game.
He's the Lovie Smith era.
Yeah.
In yep. Cully era, I think.
Nice. I think that went better than I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
It looks intimidating, okay?
It does.
You see the name, you're like, I don't want to say that.
As long as you, if you preface it before you do it, then
yeah.
you're fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I hope I'm getting this right.
Said the non-professional radio host.
I know I'm gonna butcher this, and then you just say okay. Okoronkwo.
You just gotta start off with that, and then you move on, and you're gonna be okay.
Yeah, those are the only four for the Texans.
Jerry Jones, he's late for training camp.
Is he getting sued again or something?
Hold out.
He's not making it to training camp because of his breach of contract case against Alexandra Davis, the person he is suing for, I guess, suing that she was his father.
Oh.
So he's not even going to be there for the start of training camp. If the owner can't make it to Oxnard for day one, then how can the Cowboys, rest of the team, take training camp seriously?
Just can't. That's why they're a not serious franchise.
He is seeking $1.6 million in damages for violation of a paternity agreement signed in 1998. He contends he spent that money defending against the lawsuit Alexandra Davis filed in early 2022, seeking to establish that he is her father.
So he wants his money back.
But there was an agreement signed in 1998, so he's not admitting to being the father, but there was an agreement.
Okay.
Interesting. Aaron Rodgers explained his decision to skip Jets minicamp on Pardon My Take. He said, "The thing I think people don't understand is that when I was in the NFC North and played for that team years ago, there used to be a real thing called minicamp where it was usually had one of them, usually. Sometimes it was right after the draft, but either way, it was five practices in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So two practices on Friday, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. This is very confusing. Now it's not minicamp. They can arbitrarily put a tag on whatever week of OTAs that they want. So this is minicamp week, which makes it somehow more mandatory than the other weeks, but it was an OTA schedule. That's how words can be a little deceiving from time to time. You can make a story out of the fact that I missed a minicamp when it was really two OTA days. I came to the first 10. Long way of saying,
okay,
I just didn't go to the minicamp part. Here's the thing. Anyone that knows about the NFL calendar, especially over the last 5 years, knows that generally for OTAs, there's a couple of practices over a couple of weeks, and it's voluntary. That's in May.
Uh-huh.
Minicamp is always in June. Always. It's not a big deal that Rodgers missed this practice. The story won't go away, though, because the Jets didn't say he was excused to miss it, and Aaron Rodgers keeps on pushing back and bristling at people who are asking about it instead of just saying, yeah, we talked about this. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, he basically was like, I can't read a calendar. So I don't agree with the NFL calendar, so I'm not going. That's basically what he's saying. Now, I'm not surprised, because if you think back just a little bit of time, he was one of the veteran players that was the most outspoken as the NFL and the NFLPA was doing their collective bargaining agreement, where these changes he's referencing, where those were implemented, he was very against all of it. He just wanted to get rid of everything, basically. Like, that's what the selfish veteran players want to do. They said all of it was a waste of time because they just didn't even want to have to deal with fines, whatever. He's just Aaron.
Very Aaron Rodgers answer.
Yeah. I thought he also was asked about how much longer he's going to play. He said he straight up said at one point his plan was to play last year and this year, win a Super Bowl, and be done. So now he's not so sure. But he said at least this year. I'm ready to move on. Why? I'm ready for post-Aaron Rodgers life.
I can guarantee... Well, post-Aaron Rodgers life, that doesn't mean there'll be less stories about him.
No, but then they'll turn into Brett Favre stories, and they'll be funnier.
It'd be really funny if Rodgers went back to the Vikings, and yeah. with the Vikings just starts just kicking the Bears' ass again.
And honestly, the Packers.
For the longest time, I was like, if they didn't get the number one pick, I thought they were going to get Rodgers. That was like my theory, was he was going to do exactly what Brett Favre did. Where like, when he first went to the Jets. It was like he's going to go to the Jets for a year.
And then go back to Minnesota.
And then demand a trade to like Chicago or Minnesota.
Oh, you wish he would demand Chicago.
I would be so.
He owns the city. He's
I would have been so conflicted.
You would not have been conflicted.
No, you would
You've
not have been
You've never seen a good quarterback.
At all. The first like.
I just like in my
the
heart.
The first drive you would have been
I still would have hated him, but I would have been so excited.
Yeah. He played four snaps for the Jets and they still the Jets fans still like him.
Which is insane. Jets fans are something else. We mentioned the Packers a moment ago. I think a lot of people are going to be comparing C.J. Stroud to this quarterback among all quarterbacks in the league this coming season. Because many people, after a very awesome season that he had last year, have put Jordan Love into that top 10 quarterback conversation. Quarterback for the Green Bay Packers last year. Per Jordan Love, he is not doing on-field workouts without a new deal at training camp. So the Packers are going to be at training camp without their starting quarterback. Okay, he's using his leverage here. We'll see if he gets a deal. I'm assuming it'll be a lot like the ones that we have seen signed the last couple of years where we're all going to be shocked by the average annual value. But this is a guy that I think a lot of people, because of his rapid ascension into that elite quarterback conversation, are going to be looking at the same way they look at C.J. Stroud this year, wondering if this is actually something he can do back-to-back season.
Yeah, he's in a different position because it's challenging to pay him off of 1 year. Like C.J., if we're all wrong about C.J., he's still on a rookie contract. It's not the end of the world. You're okay. If you commit $60 million to Jordan Love and it was a fluke, your franchise is screwed. We see what's going on with Cleveland and other teams that, and what happened in Denver with Russell Wilson with that contract. But I don't know how you say Jordan Love's not a top 10 quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback. His stats last year were on par or better than C.J. Stroud's in a lot of ways. Like
last year, he was a top 10 quarterback, but that can also be different than he is a top 10 quarterback.
Yes.
If that makes sense. Because
100%.
The latter is 100% a vibes thing versus the statistic thing. Like Nico Collins is a top 10 wide receiver statistic.
Yeah.
But does everyone feel like Nico Collins is a top 10 wide receiver? Probably not.
No, and you're right. And that's what it mostly is. It's vibes versus what you believe, because I think it's also harder to say that a quarterback that sat for 3 years or whatever it was, 4 years, is a top quarterback when they were sitting. But they were sitting behind Aaron Rodgers.
I'm trying to remember what we were saying about Aaron Rodgers after his first year, where he had been sitting behind Brett Favre.
I mean, there's clips of like Troy Aikman just like ripping on Rodgers in his first game because it was going so poorly. But probably a lot of similar stuff. First of all, you're replacing a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he had great success. I mean, his playoff stats in that first game were 1-for-1. Like, I'm sure, like, hey, Joel, I know Jeremy's on vacation, but like the Killer Bees consensus top 10 quarterbacks list, not having Jordan Love on there, but having Aaron Rodgers blows my mind. Like, how? Jordan Love had a great statistical season last year. Aaron Rodgers had 4 plays. How is that possible?
It's a baseball show.
That was Paul.
What?
That one was Paul.
But it is.
I know, but I don't want to get blamed for that one.
I mean, it is. They talk about the lineup every day.
True.
Different strokes for different folks.
But like, to me, Jordan Love's a top 10 quarterback. Like, if you're going to call C.J. Stroud a top 5 quarterback, top 10 quarterback, to me, I know it's a vibes thing too, but statistically, he's there. And he has the same amount of sample size as C.J. Stroud. I don't think you can have one and not the other. So, it makes me want to puke.
I think vibes-wise, that there's just not enough quarterbacks in the league that we feel comfortable being like, that's a top 10 quarterback. Like,
that's a good point.
It's actually hard to fill out. Like, if you just drop a, like, oh yeah, they're a top 10 quarterback with a lot of guys that should be in the top 10, it's impossible to actually fill out a top 10.
I think
Jordan Love is like the ninth, eighth best quarterback.
Yeah, when you get to like Dak, Love, Goff, Stafford,
and you get there
that
fast.
Whole group is like, are they really top 10?
You have to compare his statistics to the other ones around him. And it's the same conversation with the guys that you just mentioned. And then you're like, oh, damn. But for the average football watcher, let's be honest, most are casuals. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. We don't shame people for that here. But you would probably do a double take if you saw where Jordan Love ranks among quarterbacks in the league last year statistically.
Yeah, like Love, Dak, and Goff. You basically cannot fill out a top 10 list and leave all three out without making some wild choices.
Exactly. And look, to Love, He is the NFC version of Stroud this year in that he is getting a ridiculous amount of praise for what he did in a year where at the very end was where he really took it and ran with it, right? I mean, it was starting on Thanksgiving against the Lions, and from that point on, everyone was like, oh, damn, he's good. But before that Thanksgiving game, people were all like, eh, whatever. So,
yeah, but that, like at the same time, like CJ lost to the Panthers. Like,
yeah, exactly, around the same time of year. Yeah,
it's just like they both took off in the same moment, and what Love did versus the Cowboys in the first round of the playoffs, and what CJ did versus Cleveland. Like, I just were like, they're very similar to me, as hard as that is for me to say about Jordan Love. But, like, you know, the other guy I find fascinating in this conversation about top 10 quarterbacks is Purdy. Because the stats are all there, but his vibes are worse vibes than Jordan Love vibes. Because no one buys it.
Yeah. That, again, that's why, like, half the top 10 lists are guys a third, half of football fans would be like, no way! What are you talking about?
Purdy has the highest yard per attempt among qualified quarterbacks by, like, 1.3. And that, when I was growing up, like, that was the statistic that you look at because it determines, one, if a quarterback is throwing down the field and if he's not a check down Charlie or whatever. And, yeah, he's by far number one in that conversation. And he can move a little bit, but it's because of where he was drafted that there is still a bit of a Tom Brady treatment when Brady was early on. And look, that 49ers team is really effing good. So, yeah, it's going to get held against him. But to bring it back to Jordan Love, I think we should be comparing C.J. Stroud against Jordan Love. And just based off of the way last year went, C.J. Stroud is no longer in a who's better between he and Bryce Young. It's, hey, the two newcomers to the party, who's the better one between these two?
I agree.
And we'll see. Yeah. We will see. Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Coming up next, we heard from Stephon Diggs at Texans training camp. Oh, it was an ugly practice. We'll discuss that more. Stick around.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Someone from the 747 said, hey, Paul, you forgot at number 45, Booby Miles from Friday Night Lights. That is a good one.
It's a good point.
That's my favorite football movie. And Derek Luke as Booby Miles in that movie, as we talked about on Friday, stole the MFN show.
So good. Watch it this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah, you inspired me.
Had you seen it before?
Yeah. It's just been a while. But it was Saturday, wasn't doing much. The Astros didn't play till 8:30 at night. I haven't got NCAA football yet.
So. Are you going to get it?
Yeah, eventually.
I watched on Saturday the Jake Paul versus...
What are we doing?
What's his face?
Why?
I was at a bar. Okay, I mean, it was on TV at a bar. And I watched it, and I was like... that pause. I was just like, wait, the other guy looked so overmatched by Jake Paul and the whole time. And he got his ass kicked.
What was the weight difference? Because I know I had heard it, that this fight was happening. The recent Jake Paul fights have fallen into the, I know this is happening at some point, and then, oh my God, it's happening in 30 minutes.
Because this was supposed to be the Tyson fight, but Tyson had a heart attack.
Correct.
Basically.
And they bring in Mike Perry.
Mike Perry.
He's a UFC fighter.
Paul afterwards said that he outweighed Mike Perry by a slim margin. I don't think Mike Perry landed a punch. And I'm making it simplified here because I don't know glove, if you will, right? Like I watch it. If it's on at a bar and I'm on a Saturday night, I will watch the fight. But my God, the amount of money that must have been stolen via pay-per-view for that was terrible. That was an absolute disgrace of a performance. It was so one-sided. And I mean, is that all this is with Jake Paul? It's just fighting guys who used to do MMA in a sport where they're not really good at it. And Paul deserves credit. He's good at it, clearly. Like
he's a good boxer.
He's passable.
But he's not fighting anyone that gives me any ounce of wanting to care. Like
he's good enough to beat guys that aren't boxers.
Yeah. I mean, like Mike Perry hasn't fought in the UFC since 2021. He's been doing the bare knuckle fighting championship stuff. And then he did this. And it's just fight someone real. But he can't because then the whole gimmick's over. I still think most of these are staged, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And one day there's going to be a massive lawsuit that's going to bankrupt gambling companies and Jake Paul for all of them knowing that these guys are taking dives. I firmly believe that at least half the guys he's fought are taking dives.
Based off of the sheer lack of, one, punches thrown by this guy, but two, blocks attempted by this guy, I don't think that's entirely implausible.
Yeah, it just seems fake. It feels WWE.
I remember the Woodley fight. I think it was when he fought Woodley, where Woodley's corner, because they have him like mic'd up, he was like, "You're going to lose unless you come out swinging." I think the round before he had some success, like hitting Jake Paul, and then he was like, "Yes, you have to swing on him." And then he didn't throw a punch for the first like minute and a half of the round. And that's when you're like, "Wait, what's happening here?" Like, this is a guy, like, he's an experienced fighter. Whether it's boxing or MMA, that doesn't matter. But his corner is telling him, "You just had success swinging punches at this guy, and then you go out there and you don't swing punches at him. What is happening?" That's where I'm not sure if I 100% buy into Joe's conspiracy theory, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were some like agreements beforehand.
It's one of those things where I'm fascinated by the people who are fascinated by this. Again, for me, it was on TV. I'll watch it. And it seemed like it was so one-sided. I mean, as soon as I buy it, I think I would have been asking for a refund. And somehow celebrity boxing is more relevant than actual boxing.
And that's all it is. Well, it's
celebrity boxing.
Real boxing is dead. Celebrity boxing is what the sport is now. Whether it's these,
but it doesn't even involve boxing.
I know, but it's these TikTokers, and you have all these influencers in different realms. Like, it's not just Jake Paul. Like, you have all these guys. The guy who does the prime drink with Logan Paul, a soccer fan. I can't remember his name. But, like, he's done these fights.
Yeah.
It's all influencer boxing. Those are the only boxing fights I ever hear about
it's
anymore.
It's influencer boxing and ex-MMA guys. It's like, what is the only time we talk about boxing?
And, like, is Mike Tyson going to die the next time he fights? Like,
is Rodney King dead or something? Like, oh, wait, hang on. That's the wrong. My bad. That's terrible. Don King.
I don't know if he's still alive.
Yeah, that's
not video of that.
Sorry, I was talking about guys getting their asses kicked, and here we go. That happens. You know what? Sometimes when you see a last name, you think one.
I get what happened.
It's pretty bad luck. Pretty bad luck.
It's a tough one.
No, it's okay.
It's a tough mix-up.
You're fine. You're fine.
Look, I'm you know.
The mix-up is fine, but to ask that question is the tough one.
Whatever. I am, but there isn't like that big boxing promoter guy really anymore.
No, you have Oscar De La Hoya, and like he's a sleazeball.
Don King is 92 years old.
He's still kicking.
Wow.
Okay.
According to Wikipedia.
Okay, didn't know that. Listen, I was asking the question.
No,
then I asked about another
answered.
King.
I answered. Don King is
who happened
alive.
To be black.
Yeah, he answered the question correctly.
what do we do?
I don't know.
It's Galata George. He is Joe George. I'm Paul Galata. I actually had some other tangent that I was going to dive into. Oh, we did see Conor McGregor, and he had some words for Jake Paul, too. I mean, I guess that's the next phase of celebrity boxing. Yeah, you get an MMA guy that's that relevant to fight him. And I did think Conor McGregor, at the very least, when he did his
Floyd fight.
When he did his Floyd fight, I at least felt like he clearly was new to boxing.
Yeah,
but it seemed like he had a shot for
a
moment.
Yeah,
he had a shot. I definitely think Floyd carried him and kind of allowed him, his style being so defensive, allowed McGregor to stay in the fight a little bit. But yeah, that's where we're at now. I mean, one of the Paul brothers fought Anderson Silva, didn't he?
I think so.
Didn't Jake Paul fight Anderson Silva? Like
again, this is where
the best UFC fighter of my lifetime, basically.
I feel like the Jake Paul thing is kind of petering it out without an interesting foil to go up against, because before the first Jake Paul fights, it was interesting just because it was interesting, and we kind of couldn't believe that he was doing this. Now it's like, yeah, we've seen him beat up 40-year-old MMA guys. We're good on that. Like, we need something new. And I think, I mean, it is funny, Conor McGregor is probably not that much older than all the guys that Jake Paul's fought, other than when he does fight Mike Tyson. But I think Conor McGregor is like the... That's like the season finale of this. That's what this is all kind of building towards, is Jake Paul and Conor McGregor fighting each other at some point. When
Conor better win the Chandler fight when it happens.
That's though. What I think. I think he has a fight or two left in actual UFC, and then
before
it's
he does this
influencer boxing. Yeah,
but there's a part of me too that wonders if some of these fighters even want to give Jake Paul this chance. The funny thing is, like, he's already gotten to a level of clout and notoriety that a lot of these boxers will never reach. And it feels like there are some who are stubborn and they don't even want to go in there to actually stop this.
Well, what if you lose? Like, what if you're a real boxer, like, and you lose? Your career is tarnished.
That's true, but there's got to be someone that's going to go in here. I know Mega is saying on our Twitch that, like, yeah, there's a lot of people that are watching this stuff overseas. That's true, but we used to watch it here.
Yeah, I mean, Mega, like, I think your argument's valid, but you're arguing about soccer basically right now. It's not irrelevant. It's not relevant here.
It's weird that it's not relevant. It's disappointing that it's not relevant. Yeah. This used to be, I mean, one of the greatest sports movie franchises of all time is based on boxing. Raging Bull, boxing. Mm. Like, boxing used to be the bleep. You know, go back to the 30s even, like in the 20s, like that's what it was. But
my favorite sporting
this
event
is what it is now. It sucks. And that fight on Saturday was a joke.
Yeah, my favorite sporting event I've ever attended is a boxing fight. It was the Canelo fight at Minute Maid Park.
Ooh.
It was incredible. It was the coolest environment I've ever been in for a professional sporting event. The best part was definitely when they accidentally opened the roof and it was raining. But the crowd supporting Canelo was unbelievable. Like, I had never seen anything like that before. Like, boxing can be the absolute best sport. It's just,
I don't know. I think it's over now. I think it's over now. It's a shame. It's a shame. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Astros took 2 or 3 from the Mariners over the weekend. We also heard from a couple of Houston Texans after a training camp practice that I found disappointing. Hour 3 is next. Stick around. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN
97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.